We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
Update comes from One Bills Drive. The Bills have just wrapped up their Thursday afternoon practice today, getting set for the Miami Dolphins game. Expect to get the injury update at some point during the afternoon. They do have a new player on the practice squad, a familiar face, though. Wide receiver return specialist Ray McLeod is back, just released by Carolina a couple of days ago. McLeod had issues with hanging on to the football in return work with the Panthers. The Bills bring him back, their sixth-round pick in 2018. He played 10 games for the Bills last year, had one start. Ray McLeod back on the Buffalo practice squad. The Bills put wide receiver Jordan Vesey. They released him from the practice squad today. Dolphins, believe it or not, still looking to cut, apparently. They are apparently engaged in talks to trade away running back Kenyon Drake. NFL Network says the Dolphins have had trade conversations with teams about Drake. They've indicated they would trade him if the right offer presents itself. He's in the final year of his rookie contract. The two sides have had no extension talks since training camp. And for his part, Kenyon Drake said he would welcome a new opportunity to play elsewhere. Thursday night football tonight, Kansas City at Denver. The Chiefs have won the last seven times they've played Denver, and they lead the all-time series 63-54. But Kansas City coming off back-to-back losses at home, including last week's loss to Houston. The Broncos coming off a 16-0 win over Tennessee. That kickoff is 8:20 tonight at Mile High. It is Kansas City and Denver Thursday night football. Sabres play tonight. They lost their first game of the season in regulation last night, a 5-2 loss to the Anaheim Ducks. Tonight they play at Los Angeles at 10:30 at the Staples Center in L.A., and they wrap up the road trip Saturday night against San Jose. San Jose's coming here for Buffalo's next home game Tuesday, the Sharks playing at KeyBank Center. And baseball tonight, the American League Division Series, or American League Championship Series, it is game four. The Yankees at home against Houston. The Astros lead that series 2-1. And they play game four of the series tonight. First pitch at 8:08 p.m. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and a guest in studio with us in his third year with the Bills. Happy to have long snapper Reed Ferguson with us. Hello, Reed. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You mentioned to me coming in the last time you were on the show was Super Bowl. You talked to us at the Super Bowl in Atlanta in February. That was fun.
Yeah, back on Radio Row.
Signed a new deal, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good. Good to be back on. Yeah.
How bad does it stink to practice outside on a day like today?
Yeah, it's a little crappy, but fourth year here, you learn to love it.
It's not your first trip, right?
Yeah.
How does the weather change your game, your approach to handling the football as much as you do?
Most of it is just making sure that we have plenty of footballs able to use, because after you kick, you know, two or three, if you can get to four, you keep it dry. But the ball is ruined, pretty, you know, waterlogged. So you just kind of have to keep a good rotation going with the operation.
I know it happened a couple of times with me in my career, but have you ever had to, like, hey, give me a new football when you get out there and get over it, say, hey, I get this ball out of here?
Yeah, once that I can think of, it was last year in the Baltimore game, first game of the season, and it was
because there was rainstorm
just coming down all game for like 6 hours, so I had to switch out a ball once or twice.
Will they always make the change for you?
Usually they do, yeah, and especially when you know the weather's going to be bad for a game, the refs will come over pregame, say, hey, you know, we'll keep the balls dry for you. Yeah. They're pretty friendly about it most of the time. So,
and plus, if they know, too, that if they spot the ball and it's raining, then there's a delay and you can't get over the ball. Now it keeps raining on it. That's when you have to get it changed.
That's
we waited too long now between plays. Because they do keep a lot of dry footballs ready.
Right.
But between plays, you got to spot it, and then it sits there in the rain.
Right. And then the refs got a towel with them, but – you know, in between offense and, you know, offensive drives, team switching, you know, that towel is going to be soaked by the third drive of the game. So, yeah.
With Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson, you're in your third year on the roster, right? 17, 18, and so far this year, 19. But you did spend the 2016 year on the practice squad here while Garrison Sanborn was the snapper. What was that year like for you, and how did you handle that? What did you do?
Yeah, so the main thing about that 16 year is it was great for my experience to kind of grow as a football player on the mental side of it. Really taking, you know, those three practices a week plus, you know, post-game stuff, watching film, you know, with old coach Danny Crossman. But really just being able to focus on those three practices without having to worry about playing on Sunday and focusing on getting better as a snapper myself, being able to do the scout punt team, give, you know, looks for the starter guys on punt return. And then, you know, on the flip side, getting some rapport with Colton and Dan Carpenter was here, you know, on the field goal side of things, just kind of working in that operation, just staying ready in case anything happened.
Coach Crossman's coming back with Miami Sunday. What was your relationship like with him, and what did you get from him? What did you learn from him?
Yeah, Danny, he taught me, you know, he taught me a lot in my 3 years that I had with him. You know, if he wasn't here, you know, I don't think, you know, that I would be here, because I think he played a big part in bringing me back on the practice squad for that season. But no, he taught me a lot about the ins and outs of special teams itself, because coming in from college, you don't have a wide it's very, very basic in college, you know, with special teams. You've pretty much, you know, the spread punt, you don't have the pro style punt. So that's a big difference. But no, he taught me a lot about ins and outs and kind of daily preparation on how to go about my business.
How's your relationship? How much verbal feedback or conversation do you have with Steve during a game or that kind of thing?
A lot.
Steve Hauschka, I'm talking.
You're right. We're always talking. I mean, after every kick, you know, me and Corey Borquez and Steve, you know, after a field goal, hey, how are the laces? And Steve will talk with Bojo. Hey, how was the hold? You know, laces fine, tilt and everything. You missed you know, did you make sure you had the spot right on the corner of the hash, whatever it may be. But then, you know, on punts, hey, was it a hip? Did I hit you in the face? Did I hit you in the chest? Because Corey, you know, depends on where we are on the field. He likes to catch it in different areas. So, you know, just kind of double checking most of the time.
Wait. You're telling me that he would rather, like, if you're on one hash, a long field goal, or the other hash and a short field goal, he wants the snap in a different place?
More for punts.
Punts.
Yeah. So if we're close, you know, if we're plus, you know, kicking a plus 50 ball, he likes to kind of catch it up higher so he can flip it right there and kick it the end over end kick, right, versus catching it on his hips so he can just extend it out and kick the field ball.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Snapping for Hauschka, I would think, would be – I mean, Bills fans know this if they watch and they watch games. Hauschka is meticulous. And I mean,
extremely,
he'll go out – timeouts, he's out there just kind of looking at different spots on the
Hauschka's
field.
I think he's a little insane.
You kind of have to be.
He's a little cray-cray.
Yeah, you got – I mean, that's part of the job, especially at this level. You kind of – you have to fall in love with the everyday, you know, monotony of the job, pretty much, you know, but because you're practicing doing the same movements over and over again.
Is it wind with him? Is he out there looking?
Yeah,
at wind?
The wind, especially in our stadium where it sits down and wind coming off the lake, it's always swirling and going in different directions. And we can be lined up for a field goal, you know, going away from the tunnel on the 15-yard line, and it's blowing, you know, left to right, but you back up 15 yards and you've got it straight coming from the right, bouncing off that side of the stadium. So,
I call him crazy, but here's the thing, and the reason kickers kind of look the way they do, strange, because he has to think about things nobody else cares about.
That's right.
Am I right?
That's right.
He's got to think about things that everybody's like, well, what are you doing? He's like, and he does stuff that looks a little peculiar because he's that meticulous in what he's doing. There are things out there that affect his job.
That's right. And he's, I mean, credit to him, he's, you know, doing all of those, you know, all the different things. He's been playing for 13 years, or, you know, 13 years, whatever
he
is. You know, it's not by accident. He's one of the best, you know, percentage-wise, I think, in league history. So, you know, it's not – like you said, it's not by accident.
In games, is he yapping at you like, I need this, I need that, or is it the other way around? Do you talk to him?
Usually not. I give him a tap on the helmet, you know, when he kicks a touchback, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, it's pretty even keel, I would say, during the game, because that's what – you can't get too high, you can't get too low.
Right.
You know, depending on whatever happens.
With Reed Ferguson, Bills long snapper, and now we get down to the nitty-gritty of it. We talked with former Bills kicker Steve Christie, and we asked him, hey, what should we ask the long snapper? And he said it's different than when he played. Christie was mostly in the 90s, I guess, right?
Right.
Played for a long time. He said long snappers now have the ability, and he admires this, to snap it so that the laces are exactly where they should be,
and
you get the right spin on it. Is that have you always snapped like that, or were you taught that snap that way? And tell me how difficult that is.
As I got older, it was the more you perfect your craft, the more important it gets, especially when you're performing in such tight margins at this level. And it's about – so going back to the spin on the ball, it's about 2.5 rotations, give or take, a quarter spin on the ball, depending on where the tip of the ball is, depending on where you hold it at eight and a half yards. Some guys put it within a yard of each other. But it's really, and I don't hold the laces when I snap. The laces are kind of in the palm of my hand, so it's a quarter turn. But as long as I'm releasing it with the same amount of power each and every time, it's going to end up, if you look at a clock, it'll be about 12 o'clock is straightforward. So it'll be roughly around 12 o'clock.
One of the things I've said when I'm covering the game is in the kicking game, sure, it moves the kick around and it'll move a punt, out of bounds, or a kick outside the uprights. It'll make you miss or whatever. You have to play the win. But also on a long snap for a punt, if you're going into it, it's an extra degree of difficulty as well, particularly in a building like New Era. The wind will move the ball around on a snap, let alone on a kick.
Yeah, especially, like you said, especially playing in our stadium. When I'm, if we're punting with the wind, that means I'm snapping against the wind because, the ball's going the opposite way. So usually when you're snapping against the wind, that's when it affects it a little bit more because of the wind pressure. But that's just when you know you're snapping against the wind, you just have to really focus on your follow through and get in a tight spiral so we can kind of cut through the wind as much as possible.
Yeah, here's what I want to know too, because I know it's a fraternity kind of the kickers and punters and long snappers. You got what kind of feedback or conversations have you had with guys on the other sideline when they come in to kick here or when you go someplace else, or what do they think about kicking in New Era with this wind and these conditions? And like, you go out there and see, well, you get the snow game
right
against the Colts. I mean,
right.
Good grief.
Yeah, it's not easy. And talking to a few guys, after the game, they'll maybe throw a comment out there about it. But usually it's the kickers that, if a guy has I think Vedvik, who we played, who in Minnesota in the last preseason game, missed a kick here, or maybe two kicks. But, I remember him saying after the game, it's not an easy place to kick. But, it's kind of the gist of places, like Green Bay, not easy to kick.
Right.
Chicago, New England as well. It's outdoor northern stadiums where after,
stadiums,
Halloween, it's going to be tough to kick, and you're going to have to kick through the conditions. And being the home team when you play in those stadiums is definitely an advantage.
Second half of the season's in November.
That's right.
Your last eight games, it's 2 months of that.
That's right.
For this area. Yep. Yeah, I get you.
Reed Ferguson, Bill's long snapper with us. Steve talked about the special teams fraternity. What about the long snapper fraternity? And we were talking before you came on the air, it's the one position where there's not a whole lot of turnover. You can make a nice long career for yourself if you're kind of a consistent good long snapper. You see it all over the place, right?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of long tenured snappers over the years. I guess maybe longest average career at a position, I would say.
So.
It's definitely up there. But yeah, if you're good and a team likes you, they're going to keep you around for a long time. One name that comes to mind is Patrick Manley. He snapped for Chicago for, I think, 18 years. And he was there for a long time. And, renowned as one of the best to play the position ever. But he gave me, I worked with him a little bit when I was coming out in 2016. And he gave me some good tips and been in contact over the years. So, like we talked about it beforehand, Ben from the Chargers, he was there for a long time.
I think he had a 17-year career.
Yeah, that's
Trey
right.
Junkin was an 18-year guy.
Yeah,
for
and
Arizona.
Then the guy, John Denny down in Miami, who they, unfortunately got rid of this year. But, he played, he just set the starts record for the Dolphins, I think, or most games played or whatever it was. Yeah, so, if you're good and you work hard and a team likes you, they're going to keep you around for a long time.
Well, I was thinking it'd be a hard – so – John Denny's done it for, 14 years maybe in Miami?
Yeah.
How do you make that cut on September 2nd? Because you think you got another good one, but you've got all these years of experience, and you're rolling the dice a little bit. How do you make that release? How do you make that cut?
Yeah, and I get, it kind of depends on the team situation, I would say.
Money maybe?
Once you get up there, you're the veteran minimum is only so much, But when you've got a rookie, I stand on
money's
the other side.
It's the answer to every NFL question.
Right, that's right. And that, I don't know if it did. That was the last regime, but it might have played a role in the reason that they chose to bring me back back in 17. But, you know, you never know. Yeah. It's, every team's different.
Well, and plus, when you get a situation like Miami where you've got head coach, new head coach, new GM, new head coach, they just might want to sweep it out and get rid of the old lingering attitudes or value system or even some of the faces and voices just to say, hey, this is our crew now. Some of that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Reed, before we let you go, we know I think you're going to be watching baseball tonight, right? Game 4 of the American League. And how does a kid growing up in Atlanta become a New York Yankees fan?
That's right. Yeah, so the Yankees, one of my little league teams from when I was when I was 7 or 8 years old. But we were really good, and most of the players were the retired numbers for the Yankees, the single-digit numbers. And I was Roger Maris, so number 9. So I've kind of, I've fallen in love with the Yankees and got a chance to go to the new Yankee Stadium for the first time in the spring, so that was awesome. But, I'll be watching tonight. It'll be a tough one.
You were in Houston last week?
Yeah.
No, last
down,
series.
Down, went to game 5 against Tampa. They were – Yeah, last Thursday night, I think. Girlfriend's from Houston, so I was down visiting. But we don't get a chance to go to a postseason baseball much, depending on how the bye week falls. And fortunately this year, but I've never been able to get away to one. But, yeah, time worked out.
Perfect.
Great. Hey, thanks for this, Reed.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Reed Ferguson, Bills long snapper. Got an update from today's practice coming up in a moment, and we're going to hear from Duke Williams also. Come on back for more. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker from our Seneca Studios in Orchard Park, getting set for the Bills and the Dolphins on Sunday. The weather should be good, unlike today. Still raining out there here in Orchard Park. This week's game sponsor is Great Lakes Cancer Care. Together, we are bigger than cancer. Got an interesting question on the table. And again, I feel guilty with this question, Steve. Have I made that clear? I don't think we should assume it's a victory. And I hear people on the radio and callers sometimes saying, well, the Bills will win and they should bury him. In fact, you just read the tweet. Nobody buries anybody that frequently in the NFL. So all that being said, I will tell you what our Twitter poll question is, because we're kind of assuming a victory here, which I think is the right position, aren't we? Aren't we assuming that? Let me read the question. Along with the Bills win, which is not, I'm not assuming anything, but along with the win, what do you want to see Sunday against the Dolphins? And on Twitter, we've had good response to that question. We offer a couple of suggested answers, and we've got 1,300 votes in. 62%, most of you say you want to see Josh Allen in the passing game improve. 29% say you want to see Devin Singletary spark the offense as he is likely to return to the offense. 6% say you're looking for more sacks and turnovers from the defense, and 3% have something else in mind. Are we assuming a victory there? Are we treading on dangerous ground here?
Here's how we got to this. We came in thinking, of course, what do you want? We wanted to say, what do you want to see? Like, how do you want to see the offense improve? Or what do you want to see that will stand out about this game and be different about what we've seen in past Bills games? Even though they're 4-1, they've done a lot of good things. What do you want to see? And, well, the simple answer to that question is, well, we want to see them win. Well, no matter what it looks like, and I think the bottom line is that's what it is. So in order to get that answer out of our Twitter poll, we had to put the caveat in front of the question along with a win.
Right. Thank you.
So that's where we got to this thing. We're not assuming anything, particularly the fact that we keep talking ourselves into this stupid Fitzmagic place.
What are you – I haven't talked about it.
The guy's got something under the hood. He started games for 18 – he's the only – listen, think about that. The only guy in NFL history to start and throw a touchdown for 8 different teams in the National Football League. And he's coming in here this Sunday for the –
That doesn't make him special. That makes him a survivor. He's a survivor more than anything.
Here's the thing. Yeah, it is – you survive in this league by doing some really cool things once in a while. And I still – and you got to know that if you catch him on one of the – and I go back to this analogy all the time, roller coaster, right, where you climb, they do these high things where these great plays, these great games, these great moments, these unforgettable things that happen in these careers – Fitz has got a bunch of those. The problem is he always drops, you know? He always goes up. And you don't know when they're going to be from week to week. And that inconsistency is the one thing that scares you about this thing. This may be a bad football team that's coming in here on Sunday in the Miami Dolphins, but that doesn't mean Fitz isn't going to do something special with them.
That's
what gets me.
I bet in his heart of hearts, if you ask Ryan Fitzpatrick, he would never answer this question. Hey, Ryan, is this the worst supporting cast you've ever been around? He would say undoubtedly, unquestionably, yes.
Hold on.
I got nothing. I got nothing around me. He can never say that, but I believe if you could ever get a straight answer out of him, he would say that. I got nothing. Look who I'm going to. We're talking about trading one of the few offensive performers we have in Kenyon Drake. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Let's take a call on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Wood is on the line. Hello, Wood. Hello. Are you there?
Not there.
Oh, he had a good. Let's go to a Dan in Florida. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Dan. Ooh, thanks for being there.
Okay.
Yeah, great to talk to you, both of you. And yeah, Fitz could have a good game, and he could also throw 4 picks.
Like, that's right.
100 times.
That's right. And all you need to do, and I'll let you get back here, Dan, is look at his last 2 games against the Bills in the stadium, right? The finale of the 2015 season, the Jets needed a win. They're trailing in the fourth quarter. He throws not one, not two, but 3 consecutive interceptions in the fourth quarter. Game over. Jets lose out of the playoffs. And then he comes back the following year and throws for 300-something yards and leads the Jets to a big win over the Bills here on, what was it, Thursday night football? I think it was Thursday, not Monday night. So all you need to do is look at that and realize he's that and he's that, too. He's both. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
3 games since O.J. Simpson got the 2003 yards, so I understand. And so I got it, big guy.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
I can just tell you is that I believe we are going to trash them because I think our defense is going to be able to contain them big time. My bigger concern, which is what I wanted to talk to you guys about, is about the Eagles. They're 3-3. They could be 3-4 pretty soon. You don't know. Their secondary is hurt. Their offense, I think our defense can handle. And I'd love for you guys to talk. I know it's a week early. But you guys talk about that because I'm like, we've got a bunch of games here that we can win. So you guys have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Thank you, Dan. I have not given any thought at all to the Eagles, Steve, to be honest with you. I haven't watched them play. I haven't looked at real time.
But I will say this, Murph.
Yes, Steve?
You're telling me you think this year's Miami Dolphins team for Fitz is worse than the Bucs, the Jets, the Texans, the Titans, the Bills, the teams that he played for here in 2007 and 2008 Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
And the 05 and 06 St. Louis Rams.
I'm telling you, this Dolphins team that I've watched 2 of their games in depth now this week and watched them a couple other times is the worst collection of NFL talent that I've ever seen. Ever.
Come on.
The worst.
Really?
The worst.
I don't know if I go that far. Because there were some pretty bad Detroit Lion teams.
There's some pretty bad Buffalo Bills teams.
The Cleveland Browns 2 years ago.
Worst. This is the worst NFL team I've ever seen.
Okay.
What do you think about this game? Along with the win, what do you want to see Sunday against the Dolphins? The Bills practice ended about 35 minutes ago. Sean McDermott after practice. John Brown, Bills wide receiver, on a limited rep count. McDermott said they're just trying to be careful with him, especially in the rainy field condition today. Matt Milano, linebacker, limited yesterday. He was limited again today. And Devin Singletary, McDermott says the Bills are trying to be smart and keep him on a rep count at practice, but he said he looked good out there on Thursday. That's smart. That's a smart way to play it. That's the update from practice today. Thanks to Chris Brown. Thank you, right. Chris.
Yeah, and I think they want to make sure that when he comes back, Devin Singletary stays in the lineup.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably do the exact same thing with Matt Milano. I think they'll probably do the exact same thing with all these other players that, I mean, you know, we saw Mitch Morse. I mean, it was 5 weeks with concussion protocol, and it was, you know, I think this is a team that takes that, their players' health really seriously. I think the sports science people, I think the medical staff are all over it. And I think they got a good handle on it. And I think they're deep enough. This coaching staff is deep enough and secure in their in the way they do things enough to say, listen, it's better to have the guy back 100% healthy than to put him out there too early and have him not be 100%, play 100%, or not be as effective as we need him to be.
Got a couple of calls on Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're going to try Wood again. Is that you, Wood?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm good. I was concerned about whether Fitzpatrick signed a new contract or not recently, because I remember when he played for Buffalo, he signed a new contract. He played well before that, but after the contract, he was horrible.
He got hurt. He got hurt the very next game, right? It was before a game in Toronto. He got hurt that game and was never the same. But look, he's coming off his best year in the league in these eight different locales where he's been a starter. He had his best year last year with Tampa Bay. And I'm not telling you he's playing well now. It's hard to play well on that group that he has in Miami. But, yeah, he signed a contract in March or whenever he signed with the Dolphins. But I don't know if the contract that he signed here with the Bills had much to do with the drop-off in his play. He got hurt. I forget who they were playing in Toronto. I can look that up. And was not, you're right, he was not the same after that, not here in Buffalo. But, again, a very solid, you know, pretty good numbers for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's on a two-year deal. It's worth 11, total value is worth $11 million. He's making $5.5 million a year. He's got $7 million of it guaranteed, the Fitzpatrick. So he just signed it, probably coming into this year. So, yeah, because he came over from Tampa Bay. So, yeah, he just signed a two-year deal. I don't know. I don't know if that plays into your scenario of why he stinks after he signs a good deal, but
that's not true.
I don't know.
That's not true.
We'll see.
Go to Steve in Springville. Welcome, Steve. You're on the air with us.
Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, I was just thinking that it's probably a good idea for the Dolphins who's starting Fitzpatrick, just being he's a more veteran quarterback. The Bills' defense, they're no joke. I can see him having some better decisions, being able to dump off, he's getting rushed, and just using his experience to their advantage.
1 second,
I'll wait for your thoughts.
Your thoughts on that, Steve?
I've said that during the show as well today, Steve from Springville. I agree with you. I think a lot of it has to do, this move has to do with the Dolphins looking at the Bills' defense on film and saying Josh Rosen has no shot to be successful, and I think it'll be a detriment to them going forward. If he came out and played and got shut out and threw some interceptions, just looked horrible doing it, and they went to Ryan Fitzpatrick again, I think it becomes impossible for them to keep throwing Josh Rosen out there week to week when he looks like that. So I think they start Ryan Fitzpatrick, let him either win it or take his lumps, knowing that they've got 10 games after this one to find a way to get Josh Rosen on the field and evaluate him.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Stephen in Jamestown, New York. Hello, Stephen. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I'm going to the Buffalo and Miami game this Sunday with one of my staff here, Derek.
Great.
And I hope they win.
So do I. Yeah.
Go Bills.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Stephen. I hope you have fun at the game, too. Merrill in Amherst. Welcome to the show, Merrill.
Hello. I wanted to respond to the Twitter poll.
Sure.
I really would like to see Singletary. I've been a fan of his since training camp and even before that. I also have one question that I wonder if you could answer, or somebody. On a kickoff, why do the players on the kickoff team run down the field to the right through the end zone even though the ball has already gone out of the end zone.
Steve, you how many kickers have you covered? Kickoffs?
I've covered thousands. A couple. Here's why, Merrill. That's the only time they get a chance to run and be on the field. It's no simpler than that. You gotta play it like it. You gotta make sure you're down there in case something happens. So yeah, if you run until, and I don't know how any other way to put it, when you're covering a kickoff in the NFL, it feels pretty good to be running down that field like that. And these guys are. I remember I was in my late 20s and early 30s covering kicks like that. And you just do it because you feel like you were born to run down that field and do it. That's all there is to it.
Do you track the ball when you're covering kickoffs? Do you
sometimes, track? Yeah. You know when a ball's going to go out. You can tell by the body language of the returner. But you run because it feels really good to do it. It does. It feels good to run down there.
Freedom.
Whether you hit somebody or not, it just feels good. You're young guy in shape and just sunny day and Orchard Park covering a kick, man. You run.
You know our buddy Ronnie Wolfley, right?
Oh yeah,
Arizona Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
Great special
four-time Pro Bowl special teams player in the NFC.
I'll never forget doing a show with him once, and he said, "You know how he talks? Every American male should have the opportunity to cover a kick in the NFL."
Oh, I said the same thing.
I don't care if guys are dressed in suits with their briefcases, just to run downfield in total mayhem. I mean, he has this whole,
I said the same thing. I said the world would be a better place if everybody got to cover a kickoff once a week. The world would be a better place.
Why would it be better?
It's therapeutic, Murph. It is therapeutic. Because virtually, back when, it's not this way now, but back in the day, you get a running start. And after that, there ain't no rules. Just go. Go find the ball and tackle the guy. And it is very exhilarating to do it. Yeah. And it's meditative in a sense.
Let's go to a couple more calls here in this segment. Dave in Florida. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Murph. How are you, Steve? Listen, I'm down here listening to the locals, and they're counting on Buffalo being overconfident here.
Hmm.
Now, you know, I'm a worse hater of the Dolphins than you are, Murph.
Okay, that's saying a lot.
Tell this team, don't read the papers up there. I don't want them reading how good they are, and they think they're going to walk all over Miami. Miami's counting on it. All right,
we'll pass that on.
Thanks for the tip, Dave. I agree with you.
I do think McDermott has done a good job in his brief tenure here of keeping his team locked down, focused on whatever the challenge is, overconfidence or even underconfidence sometimes when they go into play some games. You know what I mean? They're usually pretty even keel bunch, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, Steve? And he's preaching and has been preaching. Stay humble, stay hungry. You got a lot of work to do. You're not finished yet, and all of that is true. All of that is very true. You've got to know that it's a long season. You've got a lot of work to do, and this game is just as important as the Patriots game 3 weeks ago, the Titans game 2 weeks ago. And the Bengals and the Giants and the Jets games before that, they're all really important. And when you get out there on Sunday, you got to remember there's a bunch of guys on that sideline. They need you to play well, and you've got to do it for them. And that's so I think you got to go in there with that mindset. And I think they will. I think they will. That's not to say that they're going to be perfect or they're going to come out there, you know, breathing fire. But I'll tell you this. This defense has got another gear. And it's going to be hard to overcome even a defense like this one who plays maybe a little flat in the beginning. They're going to be able to turn it up really quick. So I agree with you. I think this is a hard game to dredge up the passion about. Like, it's really going to be here. This team's going to have to really play well. It's hard to do that. But that's why these guys are in the position they are. They play these games the way they're supposed to be played, and they prepare for them.
Let's take a call here from Steve in California. Hello, Steve. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
Yeah, man, I just hope we go in there and play with the confidence like you guys are just talking about. We don't fall to their level, you know, have that tendency like in the past sometimes where other good Bills teams are on a roll, and we go in with a team that might not be as strong.
When was that? When was that, Steve? Because nothing comes to mind when you say that. It's been so long since the Bills have been in this position to me.
Well, that's very true. But even still, I mean, there's times where you go on a little run, you know, and you feel like you got a good team like 3 or 4 years ago, even like with Fitzpatrick before he got hurt, you know.
It was a long time ago. That wasn't 3 or 4 years ago. Well, yeah, I don't think that's in their recent history. That's all I'm saying. But go ahead. What else did you have, Steve?
Well, and I just want to see, I'd like to see him move that ball on the ground. You know, this is an opportunity to build that ground game this weekend going into the Eagles game, you know, and hopefully Josh doesn't make too many mistakes and keeps an even keel and we go out there and kick some butt, man.
Yeah, I think that's one of the – thanks for the call, Steve. I think one of the important things about this game and this offense that we've been talking about so much, and Brownie said it in the – and when we asked him this in the beginning of the show, like, what would you like to see? He said, listen, this offense needs to get out of its own way. They got to stop taking pre-snap penalties and bad penalties post-snap and even in during the play penalties. And they also got to quit turning it over. If they do those two things, you know, their efficiency is going to be – raised exponentially. I think they're going to get a big boost out of that. And I think this is a team that has shown the ability to stay on the field offensively. Now, they haven't scored a ton of points, but man, the points they have scored, they've grounded out and gone 70 yards plus every single drive. So I think if they can play a clean game offensively, it's going to go a long way towards alleviating a lot of the angst that a lot of us have about how good they can be.
Let's finish off the tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills, and it's the Twitter question for us today. Along with the win, what do you want to see Sunday against the Miami Dolphins? Josh tweets this in, just a solid win with no injuries. I don't need to see anyone do anything special or out of the norm. Just look like a team that deserves to be favored by 16.5 points. Win and get this game over with. Josh has had it. Just get this game over with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't look at games. I love these games. I love all these games. And I don't look at, oh, I can't wait till this game's over with. No, man, we only get 16 of these. Go ahead.
You're right. And this is another one from Brian. He kind of sums up where we all are, I think, with this offense. This is a good tweet. He says, the offense has moved the ball well against everybody we faced, but it hasn't translated into a dominant win on the scoreboard. We need points, points, points. I want to see our defense dominate, the offense to score 30-plus points, and for us to cover the spread versus the worst team in the NFL.
Simple.
Simple, and I think all-encompassing for Bills fans. You want to see the offense take the fetters off, get out of its way, and you know, I don't know, I don't want to call it spread its wings, because I don't want to see the ball throw for 350 yards. That'd be great or whatever. I just want to see him score points. However, by hook or crook, you know, find a way to get on the scoreboard and keep going.
Yeah.
You know, don't put together a nice drive and then, you know, punt three times in a row.
Yep.
Or turn it over twice out of three series. You know, I want to see him move the football and get in the end zone and keep doing it. You know, don't get in your way.
Hey, see, we haven't done this in a while. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Are you ready? True or False?
All right.
The fix for NFL officiating in the news this week with the meetings, the owners' meetings in Lauderdale. The fix for NFL officiating is to trust and empower the referees by eliminating replay. True. 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 Train them. Train them better. Make them full-time. Train them. Empower them. Get rid of replay. Absolutely true. There's not been a more true thing on True or False ever on this show. Now, will it happen? You're going to tell me why it can't happen.
No,
we can't go backwards.
So you agree with that?
I absolutely empower the refs. Train them up. Get them good. Pay them a lot of money so they're good referees and get rid of replay. True.
I'll tell you what. It's hard to sit here today and say that it wouldn't be an improvement. Right?
It can't be any worse.
It would take us all back to where we were before replay was invented and, and then everybody's going, well, why don't we use this to fix it? Because the officiating would get better. It wouldn't fix all – there'd still be egregious misses. There'd still be mistakes. There'd be all that. But the officiating would get better, in my opinion, because they wouldn't – there's no safety net. They got to get it right, and they will learn. And there would be – and I'll tell you this, the bad part about it is there'd be an adjustment period that would be hard to live through. But from where we sit right now, yeah, get rid of what the way they're doing it now, because the way they're doing it now stinks because they can't even get it right with a replay.
Part two, NFL true and false. The NFL should rethink the use of the sky judge. Why? No. A sky judge is just another form of replay. Sky judge, and I guess the concept is one referee, one extra referee who sits on site upstairs in the booth and can overrule anything on the field based on what he sees on replay. No, we don't need that. You don't need a sky judge. Well, they got seven or eight officials on the field now. We don't need to add anybody else.
I think if they get rid of the way they do it now and get rid of the challenges and all of that stuff, I'd say the sky judge is fine. But they'd have to do more than just, like, add him. They got to subtract a lot of stuff to get to the sky judge. I think there's room for it. I think it's a better way to go than having the coaches on the field, the players, or the fans, or some whatever. Have a guy there do it. No challenges. Get rid of all that stuff and just use him and say, hey, if it was egregious, do it. Then that's fine. But, I, you know, adding him on to the present system, no. You got to subtract a bunch of stuff before you get to the Sky Judge place.
And one more. Steve goes false on that one. One more on NFL true or false. The 49ers defense makes them Super Bowl contenders. You can go first on this.
I'd say yeah. I do. They're really, really good. They're up there with the Patriots, with the Bills, and the Niners are right there. Their defensive front six or seven are awesome. They got like a bunch of first rounders up there, which means doesn't mean anything because we've all seen first rounders bust, but it does say one thing. The six guys they've got up front on their defense are all big, huge, strong athletes who can get after it. So whatever they are mentally or character-wise or production-wise, you got a bunch of guys who are physical mismatches all over their front. So I say yes.
I got true on this one also. The Niners, I watched them go into Los Angeles and handle the Rams and shut down the Rams' offense, which is hard to do these days. And the 49ers, for sure, are Super Bowl contenders. A break here. We're coming back. It is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. Is brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction company, I'm sorry, the official equipment rental company, not even close, of the Buffalo Bills. Construction equipment rental, Skyworks, brings you what have we learned from today. We had a jam-packed show. I feel like we're just getting going on this show. You know what I mean?
I know, Steve? There's a lot going on. We're starting to crescendo to the Dolphins. It's Miami week. I am an OG, man, because I'm still, like, start to grit my teeth when
Dolphins.
I think about the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I am,
you see those guys?
I am so far
gone. We had a good show today. And what did we learn? Steve Christie joined us, former Bills kicker. Steve asked him about the state of kicking in the NFL these days. Here's what he said.
You know, I think, though, the new PAT rule has really changed things for the guys. You know, at the end of the day, it's not that far of a kick, but I think mentally, the extra point being so far back, it is getting into some heads. But at the end of the day, you know, it's, you know, you guys play golf, and it's, you know what, you want to keep the same swing, keep your head down, follow through, and you know, do your job, get out there, and don't be distracted by everything else. And anytime you have an opportunity to win the game, that's what you want. Get out there and finish it for your team. That's why we get paid to do what we do, and you know, get out there and do your job.
Steve Christie. We also had Thurman Thomas on the show, Hall of Fame running back. We asked him a question we were asking our listeners 2 days ago. Do the Bills need to make a trade before the October 29th NFL trade deadline? Here's what Thurman thinks.
Ever since McDermott and Brandon Bean got here, they've been doing, yeah, I think, everything exactly the way that they want it to be done. And at this point in time, they may feel like, you know what? We don't need anybody. Right. We don't need anybody. But there's always a possibility that that something might happen a week or two before the deadline, the trade deadline. You know, a player might get injured or whatever. And I'm sure, like these guys have done throughout the process of the NFL draft and everything like that, they already know what they want to do.
Yeah, and I think that's true, but I also think they're open and seeing what's out there, right? I think they will take
a look. Yeah, and it's not so much anything – he's right. I think right now they're ready to go with who they got. If they stay healthy, they feel really good about their roster. But – here's the thing that's so unpredictable, and certainly things could happen to your team, but something's always happening around the league to other teams, which means somebody's going to be on the block, or things are changing, or there's going to be a good player on another team that says, I want out of here, something happened, this, that. So they got to keep their ear to the ground around the league to find out what's going on with other teams. It's not just about you.
Good show coming up tomorrow. Chris Brown will co-host. Channing Crowder from the Dolphins will be with us. Greg Cosell and much more. Join us tomorrow. Thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, producer Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.